Hello, everyone. This is JVL here with my best friend, Sarah Longwell, publisher of The Bulwark. Sarah, happy Friday. How are you?
What is happening?
What?
What? Did you get your copy of the book?
I got a book, a bound book. It's real.
It's a real book. We did our first. I love watching you hold it. Did you read your foreword?
I did. It's still very good.
Your foreword is excellent. So I am kind of worse for the wear this morning because we did our kickoff event last night at 6th and I, and Kara Swisher and I did our first book talk, which I was like kind of nervous for because I do this stuff on stage all the time, but with you guys.
Yeah, okay? It's weird doing it with somebody else.
I'm doing it with someone else, and it's you know, just about my stuff. And but it was super fun. So many Bulwark people there. And, you know, I think Kara might not have been used to the Bulwark crowd, which is rowdy. You know, the Bulwark crowd loves to yell and whatever. But also my kids were there, which was really fun. And at one point, I heard in the rafters, I could hear like a bunch of squealing or whatever sounds like kids. And I was like, what idiot brought their kids to this book talk?
Like, oh,
and then I looked and I was like, oh, that's my kid. That's yeah. But here is what happened that I need to tell you about.
Okay.
This is important. So pre-sales have been strong and I've got a good shot potentially at being high up in the New York Times rankings. And I feel like I desperately now, I want number one. I'm not going to lie. I want number one the way you wanted your belt, man. But do you know why I really want number one?
Oh boy, is the current number one somebody terrible?
Do you know what the current number one New York Times bestseller is? No.
Okay.
It is Ted Cruz with a biography of Clarence Thomas.
Okay. I can't imagine any real human being has bought that book. Those have to be like bulk sales.
I don't think so, because you get the dagger with bulk sales. Because, you know, people are offering like, hey, I'm going to order, you know, a bunch for a conference or whatever. And I'm like, don't do it. I can't. I don't want the dagger that they give you. You know, Jill Biden got the dagger because like it was them buying all their own books. So I don't, you know what it is? It's the right-wing media ecosystem. Like, they can pump books. And here's the thing. He didn't write it. We know he didn't write it.
Of course not. He's got a podcast to host. How could he possibly have the time to write a book when he hosts a podcast?
That's right. And it's not like he's going to legislate. You know, it's not like he's doing any of that. And also, it's a very important time for us to celebrate Clarence Thomas. But the right-wing media ecosystem's there for him. Yeah. I just want to compete. I want to unseat him. Now I have like the level. It has changed my feeling because I didn't want to put it out there. You don't want to put your hopes and dreams out there because it makes you feel vulnerable to say I want number one. But I'm going to harness my inner JVL and put the belt on my shoulder and say, I want that Webby. I want that New York Times number one. And JVL, I think we're going to get there, right? We're going to do it.
I mean, I don't know how the dark magic works. I think based on the pre-sales, there's a chance. So anybody who's been holding off, do it this first week, please. Don't like wait till week two.
Thank you.
Okay. We actually have quite a long show today. I want to talk about the president's triumphal arch. I want to talk about John Fetterman.
Me?
I'm gonna put my hair shirt on again. I want to talk about Susan Collins.
Me too.
And then I have a big thing that I've been dying to talk with you about that is from Bill's conversation with Doug Sosnick. And it's a little bit meta, but I think it's pretty important. And I listen to this because I love Bill. I love Doug Sosnick. I think Sosnick is very, very wrong in his view of the future. And I say this with some trepidation because, again, I think Sosnick is incredibly smart. And so I want to work through some of that stuff with you. Let's start with the arch. The president announced yesterday that work will soon begin on the triumphal arch and military observation deck. Did you catch that?
I didn't. Where are they going to put a military observation deck? On the arch?
Well, you see, Sarah, like the velociraptors learning to turn the door handles.
Right.
They learned from the ballroom construction.
If they make it about national security, they can get it done. If you make it about
national security, then it's hard to stop. Because what the Supreme Court seems to, again, not a lawyer, only killed it on the essay, on the LSATs. This Supreme Court's position for Donald Trump seems to be that before construction begins, nobody can sue because, like, well, there's no standing. Maybe construction won't begin. But once construction begins, you can't sue because it's national security. And national security is happening right now. I mean, what will we do without a military observation deck located over between the Lincoln Memorial and Arlington National Cemetery? And so the military observation deck is just patently preposterous. And I say again, it ought to be simply absolute dogma in the Democratic Party that they will tear this shit down on day one. Are you with me?
I am with you. I am with, again, I think
we're going streaking on the quad. Come on, everyone. We're going streaking.
So I'm going to offer you just, I have become more and more zen about Trump's construction projects for the following reason. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
The first reason is they are weirdly landing with voters as a contrast point of Trump. It's not just that their lives are getting worse. It's that Trump is focusing on this stuff. And it's not that they care. If the economy was great, they wouldn't care about the reflecting pool, the arch, and the ballroom. But because he's doing so much construction, so many construction projects, and he talks about it so much, it is landing with Trump voters that he is focused on the wrong stuff. Did you see they're trying to have this midterm, Trumpapalooza?
In Dallas.
And a lot of Republicans don't want to go because they're like, the last thing we need right now is Trump's 32% approval rating hanging around our neck. Like how much, you know, make, and if you see an ad he's doing, so they've started to spend, you know, their midterm ad dollars and they're just ads about Trump. Like, he's not doing anything for any of the Republicans. They're just ads about Trump. So I think that as a purely electoral matter right now, he is sticking his thumb in the eye of his voters with these projects. And so, number one, like, okay, go ahead and do that, bro. Let's just show everyone you're not focused on their material well-being. You're focused on your narcissistic endeavors. Number one. Number two, I do think it's going to be really fun to tear them down.
Okay. I'm glad you feel zen about it. What will you say if, by which I mean when, the Supreme Court rules, oh, you can't tear that down. No, this is important. Sorry, you don't have President Ossoff, you do not have the standing to tear that down. That's impossible. You can't.
Well, do you remember
that.
Tim and my conversation? Tim and I, we were doing mailbag questions. We talked about this on TNL, and somebody was like, which executive order of Trump's would you leave in place? And I will leave in place the executive order that says he can build that.
But it's all Calvin ball. The Supreme Court will. The idea that, like, well, the Supreme Court will say, well, what was good for the goose is good for the gander.
No.
They can tear
something.
It down.
You know what? I'm sorry, JVL. We can learn how to work the doorknobs, too. What can
Only
we learn
if
from this?
The Supreme Court lets you.
No, dude. No. What is Trump doing right now? Come on, man. Learn the lesson. Do you know how much easier it is to tear things down than it is to build them?
When you're a Republican.
This is whole, Trump's whole governing philosophy. No. You don't need to wait for the Supreme Court. You tear it down. You don't ask permission. All right? You ask forgiveness later.
Somebody will file a lawsuit.
It'll be down already.
The Supreme Court will say.
What are they going to do? Say put it back up? No, tear it down.
Stop. Oh, sorry. You got to stop right here on day one.
Takes one wrecking ball. You throw a rope around Saddam's statue's neck and you pull that thing down.
I hope so. If the Supreme Court were to stop tearing down the arch, then could I get you to expansion to the very logical 13 seats on the Supreme Court to match?
If you make me have a Supreme Court, I'll term limits. You listen, can we just stipulate forever? You want court expansion. I want court term limits. We both live in this space. We'll talk about it when it's a real possibility.
You know what? What you're saying is there's a chance. And I love that. I legit love that. Okay, so the Wall Street Journal has a big piece on John Fetterman today, and I'm just going to give you guys the headline. Behind closed doors, John Fetterman shows little interest in the work of a senator. Subhead. Poised to be a possible swing vote in a divided Congress, he churns through staff as he dodges constituents, alienates fellow Democrats, and courts Israel lobby. This is the Wall Street Journal's characterization, not mine. Right. I want to read to people the opening three paragraphs from this piece by Will Hobson and Shobin Hughes. One morning in June, three paralyzed military veterans in wheelchairs from rural Pennsylvania arrived at the office of Senator John Fetterman for a long-awaited meeting to discuss legislation that would improve their care. Fetterman's staff greeted them with bad news. The Pennsylvania Democrat had to cancel. He told his staff he may have eaten something bad and wasn't feeling well, according to people familiar with the matter. Less than an hour after his staffers met with the veterans in his place, Fetterman walked into his office, showing no signs of illness. He had an appointment he didn't want to miss, he told staff. An interview on Fox News to discuss Israel and the war in Iran. I have not seen this appearance on Fox, but I am assuming he did not criticize Israel or the war in Iran.
No.
There is a lot of this stuff where he is refusing to meet with people, or if he's reluctantly agrees to meet with them, then he cancels on the meeting at the last minute and sends his staff in his place. There's an example of staff pleading with him to meet a group of people, you know, again, constituents.
Yeah, and this was for the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. It was for CHOP. Like, this is what's crazy is the things that he's dodging. One was like, it was like a military funerals.
Funeral for three police officers.
Oh, and I mean,
he's like, how long is it going to be? And they said, well, it's basically three funerals back to back. So it's 3 hours. And he's like, yeah, I'm afraid that's a deal breaker.
I'm not going to do that. Yeah. I am genuinely blown away by this, not even as a political matter, but as a human matter. Like, one of the, it is a, I want to say it's like a, it's a benefit of being a senator. It is an honor of being a senator that you get to show up for people in their darkest hours and make them feel better, seen, you know, appreciated. Like, that's the good stuff you get to do. Half the time you got to do, you know, the bad work. That's the stuff that fills your soul back up. And that's the stuff he's like, no, no, no. You know what fills my soul up? It's going on Fox News.
Jesse Waters.
And like.
Gotta be with Jesse Waters.
Yelling about the people in my own party. Which is like, this is the thing, is like, you want to take a heterodox position on, you know, on your party. Like, you want to punch left, John Fetterman, fine. Do it on MSNBC. Like, you are just, because this is where, you know, you give up the game. Number one. Number two, I keep wanting to say to Democrats, see, not all Fox News, not all Democrats going on Fox News are created equal. When Pete Buttigieg goes on Fox News, he's there to make sure the audience knows that the things they're hearing on Fox News are garbage, and challenge them. When Fetterman goes on, he goes to confirm all of their priors about his own party. And I do think that he should be a cautionary tale. I know people want to say, I think it's a little bit of cope to say, well, he had a stroke and now he's a different person. Maybe. But this, like, I'm a slacktivist, you know, sweatshirt wearing. Yeah, I'm pointing at you. But I get this in the comments all the time. I see people when they talk about Fetterman being like, yeah, it wasn't like this. You know, it's because he had this medical event. I don't think so. I kind of think this was who this guy was. And I think that this is a good cautionary tale about nominating people for aesthetic reasons, and not sort of like, I can show up for work and do the job reasons.
It's an excellent point. I have a counterpoint to that, but we have to do an ad first. This show is sponsored by Hims. If weight loss has felt like a losing battle, this summer can be different. Skip the guesswork and try weight loss by Hims. Access an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen, plus the support to actually stick with it. With Wegovy at Hims, lose up to 20% of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first ever GLP-1 pill for weight loss, so there are no needles needed. Through Hims, everything happens online. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary, and it doesn't stop there. Hims makes hitting your goals seamless by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and in-app lifestyle and nutrition support, like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hims makes it simple to find a weight loss approach that fits into your world and your wallet, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. Ready to reach your goals? Visit Hims.com/thenextlevel to get a personalized, affordable plan that gets you. That's Hims.com/thenextlevel. Hims.com/thenextlevel. Weight loss by Hims is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit Hims.com. I just want to say this about Fetterman and the stroke thing. It isn't like he slowly changed. And it isn't like he changed like 60 degrees or even like 90 degrees. It was an overnight change almost. And he changed in ways that aren't even 108. Like, this is a guy who never talked about Israel really until the Hamas attack on Israel, at which point Israel became the most important issue in the world for him. But then he dug in. The worse Israel's response got, the more dug in he got. It was a weird, weird dynamic. There do seem to be weird personal things going on in his family, right? I mean, it just seems like all staff relationships, everything about this seems weird as shit.
Yeah, I mean, one of the interesting things is that to me, some of his early staff members, like a lot of them are now over at this thing called the Searchlight Institute. They're doing incredible work. Like, he had really good, thoughtful staffers who I think wanted to work with Fetterman to be a different kind of politician and inject new ideas. And many of them, not economic populism exactly, but it is like a different approach to universal healthcare. Yes. And how to focus more on economic and kitchen table issues rather than a lot of the social stuff. And so, like, it's weird to me.
Criminal justice reform.
Criminal justice reform. Big, that's right.
Things. I can't remember the last time I heard him talk about it.
No. I mean, is that the stroke? I don't think so. Here's what I think it is. I think he is a narcissist and of the worst order, and that the Republicans flatter that. Like, they see him. He's a mark for them, right? Is like, oh, yeah.
With McCormick this guy, and Katie Britt have worked him so obvious. It is shocking
so clear.
To me.
That's right. And they're like, look how done dirty you are, John, by these people. And so, like, he's getting increasingly radicalized. I do want to just say, like, it was made total sense for him to defend Israel in the wake of the October 7th attacks. Like, that he should, like, that was right and good. I do think that what is strange to me is that I like when people don't have the capacity for nuance or the capacity to say, I actually don't quite understand why everybody feels like they have to, like, pick a team in this fight. Like, Hamas is a terrorist organization that is bad and should be condemned, and what happened on October 7th was atrocious, and they kept Israeli hostages that made it very difficult for Israel to do anything but continue to go find and fight for those hostages. Okay, on the other hand, the not allowing aid in for the civilians was an atrocious humanitarian assault. And so, like, you don't have to just say there's only one side and I have to be on one. Like, you can sort of talk about in real time what people are doing wrong or right. And it is strange to me how people, but he is like a prime example of it. Like, people get polarized into not thinking about this stuff.
It's wild. All right. And that brings us then to Susan Collins. She sat down with Jonathan Martin of Politico, and it's an amazing interview.
I lost my mind over this interview.
And I want to go through and talk about all of this, but I'm going to set it up first before we duck behind the paywall. Here is Jonathan Martin asking her about her opponent, Troy Jackson. Martin, should the circumstances of his personal life and the mother of his children be relevant to this campaign? Is that fair game, do you think? Collins, well, I'm not going to bring up the fact that the mother of his two children is his second cousin. I don't know whether people know that or not. Martin, I think you just mentioned it.
Yeah.
Susan Collins is a bad person. And I want to dig into that real hard on the other end of this.
Yeah.
All right, guys, come join us. This is it. Become a member of the Bulwark. Ride with us.
Did you see we've launched all this new stuff? George Conway's coming back with a new show. We've got a show with Catherine Rampell. We got more stuff coming in for the 28th cycle. We are building over here. And so the subscribers are what let us do it. We are not funded by anybody else but you guys. So come ride with us.
Come hang with us.